Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I am Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner and Remy Motti. I hope everyone out there had a great Thanksgiving, a happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful, grateful, blessed. I just love this time of year.
Sounded so grateful right there. Yeah, I'm grateful.
Content with life right now.
I'm always grateful, always thankful, always blessed.
You know, we all feel so little, great, so yeah, that's what it is.
I don't feel awesome, but hey, you know what? It's Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. I love this season. This season's beautiful. The decorations and
the trees
and the kids. It's a beautiful, beautiful
the
time
food.
Of year.
Food. Yes.
Food. I'll tell you. I can't wait.
I love this time of year.
The food is the
My
best.
Waist does not love this time of year. My waist, my clothes do not love this
when
time of
year.
When
you put in a lot of hard work, right? You gotta kind of rein yourself in a little bit.
I know I need to.
You know what I started this week? I saved my calories. That's what it is. My calories.
Nice.
I run to eat. Nice. I tell everybody all the time because people always tell me like, that. Yeah, I run to eat.
I love that.
Yeah.
She always tells me you eat just to live and I live to eat. I'll get by on same thing every day. Grilled chicken, vegetables.
If it was up to him, he literally would eat the same thing.
No.
I'm good.
Breakfast, lunch, and
she's
dinner.
She's like, no, I'm a
foodie.
I love food.
Man, you guys.
I love food.
Love it.
The one thing I need every day is my iced coffee now. Woo! That's it.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's about it. And I didn't drink coffee till I was 30. My mom told me it wasn't good for me. I listened to her. She said, coffee's not good for you.
I'm with you, buddy.
She told me as a kid, it's not good for you.
I don't think I drank... coffee, so probably in my mid-30s.
Yeah. And that was it. And now
I can't
stop.
Making up for it. Let me tell you. You're making up for it for
now
sure.
Now I've drank enough to...
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You made up for it big time.
Our guest on this episode is Christian musician Brandon Heath. He's going to share a story about finding Jesus as a 16-year-old at a camp in Canada, and they were out by water, and the kids would throw a stone into the ocean, and I just love the symbolism of it. And for a while, he said he would go back there each year and do it again. It's kind of a way to reset and focus on Jesus. And I know in my life, like I can get so caught up in the day-to-day, the busyness of everything that I think I really try to make sure that I take time out to focus on the Lord and focus on my walk and what am I doing and how am I serving and how am I glorifying him. I'm not really good with technology, and this is like an incredible age
you
of technology.
A long way. You came a long way.
I've learned a little bit. You know, I know how to set up some equipment and stuff like that right now. But sometimes the most simple thing to do, like when your computer doesn't work or when your iPhone or whatever type of smartphone you use, like when it's malfunctioning, sometimes the most simple thing to do is to just hit that reset button.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything starts to work.
Or literally pray in front of the computer, just like me and the kids the other day. Literally. Because we're like, please.
She goes right to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
We just
push the reset button. Higher power.
I'm like, reset. Hey, it works better for you. We're going to talk about that in our next episode next week. But I feel like in our lives, there are times that we just need to hit that reset button and really remind ourselves that whatever isn't working, that whatever is going wrong, whatever it is, that we need to take a step back, find some quiet time, connect with the Lord, focus on him, and just reset in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, the cross is the hard reset of our life, right? So when we come to the cross, it's the hard reset. It's our hard drive was corrupted, right?
There's
viruses, multiple layers of viruses.
All right.
That's the hard reset. But Rob, I love that you brought up this topic because, I think when people come to Jesus, very often we think that moment, it was just, I'm good because I came to the cross. I accepted Christ and now my life is different. I'm acting differently. Mm-hmm. I don't do certain things that I used to do, so I'm good. Yeah. Without the realization that as we go, we need these soft resets.
Yes, yes.
We just need, you know, David is a man after God's own heart, right? He's this beautiful man who loves God. And yet, in the middle of his journey, he comes to the place where he messes up with Bathsheba and Uriah and everything else. And Nathan the prophet needs to come and say, David, look where you are right now. And then he comes back and he has this kind of Psalm 51 moment where he's like, Lord, create in me this clean heart.
Right.
You know, renew a new spirit inside of me. And yeah. I think that those are those times. And I will say in my life, and Remy, you're probably a little different than I am because you are very introspective at lots of things. I don't tend to be introspective. So I'm not a journaler. I don't necessarily do that. And at times I'm 8 miles down the road. So I'm a visionary. I'm 8 miles down the road. Yeah. And I don't always take those times to go, oh, wait a minute. Who's not sitting at my table anymore? Right. Who should be there? And I'm talking about the things of God. I'm not talking about necessarily people, although that's true as well. Yeah. But who's not, you know, what voices are not at the table that used to be there? What isn't present in my life? And so I do think, buddy, that we do need those soft resets. We need those moments where we're literally coming and saying, you're not horrible. You didn't lose salvation.
No.
You're not a mass murderer, right? It's not those things. It's just, hey, there are some people that aren't, there are some voices that aren't sitting at the table anymore. You know, the Bible says that there was a time when Samuel and David sat at King Saul's table. But in 1 Samuel 20, he says those seats were empty. Mm-hmm. And they were the voices of God's heart and God's voice. And even though he still had the position of king, there were some voices not at the table. And I think if we're not careful, it'll be easy. We'll be 10 miles down the road before we realize.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's so true. And you know, it's funny that you brought the journaling because that's exactly what I go to. I write and I read. That's just, those are my main things for me. And I'm up to what, 4 or 5 journals now. It's so weird. Like they're just filling them up.
No, it's great.
Like, let's go. Awesome. But there's one specific journal that's like, it's falling apart now, but it's the one I always go back to. Yeah. It's the one I wrote everything in when the Holy Spirit would just, like, it just got a grip of my heart. So I go back and read exactly what happened that day, exact details, and I just remind myself of what happened, what's going on, and just keep reading the progression of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How often do you do that?
Like, a lot. And every time I feel like I'm slipping.
It is resetting.
It's a reset.
Like, if I'm slipping or, like, things are falling apart a little bit in my life, and because I'm not the kind of person, like, I'm... It's weird, but the strongest people are the ones that fall apart on their own.
Oh.
And when I feel like I'm falling apart, I usually don't tell anybody. I just go on my own little zone and try to construct everything back.
Absolutely.
and try to, like, bring myself back, because I'm always bringing everybody around me back.
Yeah.
I'm always the one that's, like, supporting everybody. So I have to, like, not myself, but I have to go to God to support myself.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I know. I need to, like, work on that. But it's just how I do things. That's just how I do it. And so I go back to my journal. I go back to that day, that same moment, because I write everything. Yeah. I'm weird, man.
No, it's not.
I write everything.
That's great.
You got to find out what works for you.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And those things
are
important.
Like a therapy for me.
Absolutely.
I write everything, details, times, everything, dreams, visions, everything. So I go back to that specific spot, specific date, and just read it over and over and just remind myself, this is real. This is what's important. Nothing else is.
That's why God wrote his word, Remy. You know, you guys have heard me say it 1,000 times. The Bible's not a rule book. It's not even it's not the instruction guide that we talk about. It's God's journal. He's journaling who he is so that we can go back and look at it and say, look at this. Time and time again, he's been faithful.
Right,
he's been faithful.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so you get that chance to do that. Mm-hmm. I do that with my Bible. I write things in my margins. Yeah. I write things. You know, when I've had prophetic words over me or encounters with God, I'll write it in. And so many times I'll go back to that way.
Right.
Oh, man, exactly right. And there's times that we need encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Habakkuk 2 says, when you get a vision, write it down so that even though it tarries, even though it tarries, it will come to pass so that we can run with it. You write it down so you can run with it. So I think those things are really important. I would just say this, and the thing that I want to always encourage our listeners, we do have to find some of the things that work for us, because Rob, you and I will be different. Everybody's different, right?
I don't do either of the things that you guys are talking about.
No, exactly.
Like, I'm sitting here reevaluating, going,
what do I do?
Yeah, what I need to step up.
But you're an athlete, right? You think athletically. You do, and you think competitively. So when you start to see, at least my guess with you would be, when you start to see certain things in your life, actions in your life, attitudes in your life start to slip a little bit. You're a self-corrector in that.
Yeah, I want to win.
You want to win. Exactly.
I compete with myself all the time.
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah, I failed this morning. I gotta win this afternoon.
Correct.
Or I always put it in terms of if I'm slipping, if I'm doing something like I'm making the enemy happy. And I want to kick him in the gut, right? So I'm not going to let him win. So now I got to bounce back. I got to rebound. And that's kind of my philosophy on it. But I like how you distinguish there's a soft reset because that's what we're talking about.
Soft,
but that hard reset, man, that hard reset, sometimes it's kind of like when you go to a doctor with a broken bone.
Yes.
Right?
They gotta reset it. Yeah,
right.
No, that's hard.
And man, that can be so painful.
Yes.
But when you're talking about that, to me, kind of equates with sometimes, like you mentioned, you know, you got a corrupted hard drive. You got to delete all the old programs.
You
got to get rid of all the bad habits.
Yes.
You have to maybe eliminate some people from your life. Maybe 100%. Get rid of patterns of behavior that have led you. That's a harder reset. That's where you got to really evaluate your priorities.
It's reprogramming.
Yeah.
Like if we're going to use the computer, if we're going to use the computer analogy, it's our hard drives are corrupted. Because of the fall, just by nature. It doesn't make people bad. It's just that's what happened. Your computer's not bad because if it's a virus. It
something,
just becomes
something got, something involved got in. It.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be there. It corrupts the data. So then we have to reprogram it. We literally have to rewrite the code. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He rewrites the code when we let him rewrite the code.
Yes.
And that's the problem. Yeah. So I think the thing that I would always say is, you know, when it comes to some even the resets and resetting our lives, we need internal and external help with that.
Yeah.
And that, Remy, is the danger of isolating ourselves, doing it ourselves.
I'm working on it.
No, I'm working. Because we all have blind spots, right? We have blind spots that we can't see, no matter how hard we want to. Mm. And so, you know, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors who are godly counselors, right?
Yes.
So it's the people around our lives. Your friends are the picture or the photograph of your future. So when you look around your life, and if all your friends are you the recipients of the blessing, right, and the wisdom, and they're not the ones giving back, that's going to be a very dry future for you, right? If they're just
fun
people
times.
Who are always ungodly, right? It's just true. Your friends are the photograph of your future. Yeah. So
that's interesting.
We need to make sure that we have men and women in our lives who can help us in those times, speak into those lives. So we can't just do it with our friends, right? We need what you do.
Yeah.
Go to the Holy Spirit. Make sure he's the sanctifier.
Yeah.
He's the one. Rob, that's the danger for you and I. We self-correct, not spirit-correct. And those two things are different, right?
Huge difference.
So it's because self-correction deals with the symptom. Spirit correction deals with the root.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of times you and I can self-correct ourselves because we know what we should be doing, right?
Yeah.
But I think
we always know what we, or most of the time we know what
we should be doing, right?
But
exactly.
It's a good thing you talk to me though. It's a good thing you talk to me and I talk to you.
Well, that's why your husband, that's why God brings us together, by the way.
Talk about that spirit, this spirit correction.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where it comes in. Like the spirit correction deals with the root of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that's a much harder and a much longer progression. Because the reason that root is there is because we've gained something from it for so long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've gained something from that. There's a sense of value that it brings us, right?
Yeah.
So happiness, pleasure. Yeah. And it doesn't always need to be vastly sinful. It's sinful because it's relying on something other than God. But it's not necessarily, you know, like I like to be liked. You and I have talked about, so I like to be liked. And so at times,
most people,
and I don't think being liked is a problem.
Which is difficult.
Exactly.
You're a pastor.
Or a sports writer. Or an apologist for certain people.
Gotta love that.
Yeah. But does that make sense? Like, I think in that, or like, you know, I like to be liked. It's not that being liked is wrong. It's like when I allow that to influence my thought process and influence the way I respond. And the Holy Spirit's going to deal with this. Kyle, why do you find your value outside of who God has said you are? Why do you seek that outside of who God has said you are?
So good.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about, dealing with the real root. That's why the Spirit deals with that thing.
Yeah.
You and I can go, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't care what they say. We can do all the bravado and we can do self-correction. No, but
That's strong.
Nick, if you've ever gardened, like, I mean, I'm going to go to the garden now because I'm going to, I love my flowers. I love my flowers.
I kill everything.
I love my flowers. But the thing is, if you don't treat the roots and if you don't check on the roots and make sure that the roots are well nourished and well watered and everything and not water them way too much or just let them dry, eventually the beautiful flower is going to die. Correct. I mean, it's going to look cute for a while. And people are going to look at it and be like, oh, this looks great. But it's unhealthy roots in the bottom. And you have to really treat the roots so that you keep getting the fruit of what you want, of what the flower is supposed to look like. And that's why Jesus is always saying, like, you have to be fruitful in every single season of your life, not necessarily one season.
The good and the bad.
The good and the bad. So he didn't just curse the fig tree for no reason. Correct. You know?
Correct.
He wasn't trying to be, like, unreasonable. He was trying to say, I made you to be fruitful. So stop thinking that this is your season to kind of die down or be depressed or whatever. And I know depression is, like, real.
I hear you. Yeah.
You need to make a decision every single day to treat the roots, as you were saying.
You have to treat the roots. Yeah. Right? The majority of growth of anything is under the ground.
Yeah.
And we value so much what is above the ground, right?
Yeah.
But Remy, what you're saying is right. We ooh and ah over the rosebud at the top, right?
But so beautiful.
If you don't actually nurture, the majority of that flower is under the ground. If you don't nurture the roots.
Yeah.
And I think, Rob, getting back to a little bit of what we said about who's sitting around the table, it's why it kind of, it worries me sometimes when, we have the same people in our lives that we've had since I was in high school. And people say that all the time. Oh man, I've been hanging out with the same crew I've had since high school. And it makes me concerned. I'm not saying that that's completely wrong all the time. I just have to sit back and say, you know, I need people in my life who can help me get to where I need to go with God, with my marriage, with life.
Right.
Yeah. Not just celebrate where I've been. I don't have to get rid of everything, but man, if the same people at that table have been the same people at that table my whole life, I've probably capped.
Yeah.
Right.
Where am I growing?
And you're not growing.
Correct.
Spiritually, you're not growing at all as a person. I think sometimes we think, like, don't be so hard on yourself. You're in a good place professionally. You're in a good place in a relationship. You're in a good place in everything around you. You're there. You've arrived. You've accomplished it all. Right. To me, I'm always striving. I want to be different. I don't want to be the same person 5 years from now.
Correct.
I don't want to be the same person in 3 months.
Yes.
There's an area of my life I think I should improve in all the time.
Yes.
I always feel like there should be something that improves. I want to get back to a little thing that you touched on with wanting to be liked. Because
without getting
specific about certain situations and athletes, but sometimes if you are concerned with being liked, and it's not a you problem, and what I mean by that is sometimes there could be a perception that a particular athlete, for example, isn't necessarily well liked by certain people in the locker room or in a clubhouse.
Yeah.
And what I try and do is explain sometimes if I know one person, if I know them both, and say, you know, the person who isn't liked by the other guy, is it the one who isn't liked, or is it a problem with the one who has an issue with? Sometimes it's not your, like, if you're striving to be liked so much, sometimes first of all, you're never going to please everybody, right?
Correct.
And sometimes it's people just aren't going to like you.
Correct.
No matter what you do.
Yes.
No matter how good you are or how bad, people just aren't going to like you. And I think that there can be in sports and in media today, things get blown out of proportion. And, you know, I'll just go off for a second on this. We have, in radio, especially because I do radio and this is radio right now, we have hosts who have never gone into a locker room who allow callers to have a forum, and then they the callers will complain about the locker room culture based on assumptions they're making, and the host can't correct it because they've never been in a locker room. And now a narrative gets formed such and such player is not necessarily well-liked or well-perceived in a locker room because this caller said it and this host didn't correct it, and now that spins a narrative when ain't either one of those people ever stepped foot in a locker room, and they don't know, and they don't have a clue. And Yeah, that kind of.
God, no, I love it.
Hey, all right,
just say amen to that.
Man,
amen.
That irritates me. All that right. irritates me.
I mean, that was good though.
If you're gonna talk about the character of a person, if you're gonna talk about the character of a player, if you're gonna talk about the culture of a locker room, you better know. You better be in there. Yep. You better examine that. And then it's irresponsible of you as a talking head behind a microphone, whether you're on radio, whether you're on television, to sit there and say anything about the character of a player that, one, you may have never talked to, you may have never interviewed, and you don't know what the locker room vibe really is like, but you're basing it on one particular player who may be upset for reasons that you don't actually know why? Now, come on.
Well, I mean, come on. Look, we know we've been in locker rooms. I've been in locker rooms my entire life. So the truth is that there's never
there's a
locker
particular
room that
locker
everybody...
room that you've been in more than a lot of hosts. Yeah, so, I mean, let's just put that out there.
The truth is, like, you can't ever get 53 guys to all be on the same page. It's just not that. That's not reality in life. And so I agree with you, Rob. Sometimes, you know, the biggest target that the enemy is going to try to target is unity. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, because that's where God bestows blessing and life.
Right.
So why wouldn't he want to destroy unity in the best way that he can? Mm-hmm. But interestingly, I'm going to take that locker room analogy and use that just for 1 second for us. Because I was listening to a sports show host on a major on ESPN, by the way, which was awesome, and he was talking about he was in a local market the other day on sports radio, and how so many people were talking about wanting to trade this one player, and how now the narrative out there is there's a whole bunch of people that want to trade this one player. Whole bunch of who? People in football, people in the front office, people who make those decisions, or
impatient knuckleheads.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm just
impatient knuckleheads,
right? So the narrative is created by outside voices, but isn't that what happens in our life? So in our life, we don't go to the throne room. We don't spend time in the locker room of God.
No.
We don't spend time with the main player, right?
Yeah.
We don't do that. We don't find out his character, his nature, what's going on in him. We listen to the outside voices, friends, enemies, circumstance, offense, the enemy. We listen to all these things, and the narrative over our life is formed. And that narrative gives, we give it birth, we give it life, and then
that
we wrestle against that narrative our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to prove that wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, that's never going to, or a lot of us sometimes say, I'll prove it right. It's the narrative becomes, and it's, we've never set foot, boldly go into the throne room of God. The veil has been torn in two. We have access to the one whose character and nature is the one who we need to be changed by. And we can't do it alone. So, Rob, what you just said is absolutely true in sports. It's 100% true.
And you know what? Unity is so, that is so true. And the enemy's attacking families right now.
Oh, of course.
Oh,
like
my goodness.
Crazy. Like, I can tell you about three families right now that I heard like in the past week that marriages are falling apart.
Oh,
wow, really?
Three families.
Given.
In the past week. That's pretty
unity.
Big.
That goes back to unity.
Yeah.
That goes
back to unity. So it doesn't have to be in the locker room.
Oh, no. I love how you brought that back. That was beautiful. Up next, we're going to hear from Christian music artist Brandon Heath on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people. So thank you to Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Uchler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Let me tell you about Oliver. The cold weather is here, and I needed to make sure my family stayed warm at home this winter. We had an old gas furnace that I didn't trust to get us through another season of freezing temperatures. So I reached out to Oliver Heating and Cooling, and I couldn't be happier. Dan came over for an estimate, and we hit it off right away. Just a great guy who knew exactly what my home needed. A couple days later, Scott and Matt installed a high-efficient modulating gas furnace. They did an awesome job. They went above and beyond to make sure everything was perfect, even made sure I understood all the wireless features and everything else. I've had a lot of bad experiences over the years, but now I know I will never have to worry about heating, cooling, plumbing, or electrical needs because I fully trust Oliver. They're a family-run business rooted in strong faith and have been committed to providing superior service for nearly 50 years. I absolutely love Oliver's mission to build a trusting, long-term relationship with our associates and serve our clients' indoor comfort needs by honoring God in all we do and treating others as we want to be treated. They are simply the best. If you're in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Delaware, look for the White Dove and call Oliver at 888-433-1574 to schedule an appointment today for any maintenance or installation for your HVAC, plumbing, or electrical needs. Right now, Oliver is offering a special deal, only $69.95 for a heating tune-up for new customers, and you can save up to $1,850 on the new installation of a heating and air conditioning system. So schedule an appointment today with my guys at Oliver Heating and Cooling. Call 888-433-1574. That's 888-433-1574. Or email them at oliverheatcool.com. Oliver, comfort you can trust. Our guest, Brandon Heath, is a Christian musician, singer, and songwriter who has been nominated for several Grammy Awards. His sixth studio album, Faith, Hope, Love, Repeat, was released in 2017. Brandon will be in concert locally at Fellowship Bible Church in Sewell, New Jersey on Saturday, December 7 at 7 p.m. For tickets, go to aboutfbc.org. Remy and I spoke recently to Brandon. Really enjoyed that conversation. Here is that interview. Brandon, you have a unique story regarding where you were when you gave your life to Christ. I read that you were on the ninth hole of a Frisbee golf course near the water, and you were on in Canada. And I love the symbolism of like throwing a rock into the ocean. Can you share that story with our audience?
Yeah, I was up in British Columbia, Canada, and there is this camp up there. It's actually a Young Life camp. So Young Life is an outreach to high school kids, and I was in high school, went to this camp when I was probably 16 years old, and that's where I met Jesus. And at the end of the week, if you've begun a walk with Christ, you go down to the water's edge, you find a rock. And it's comical the size of some of the rocks that kids will find in the water. But we throw a rock into the inlet because it's on the ocean, so they call it an inlet. Yeah. And it signifies your old life. And so I tossed my rock, which was a medium sized rock, into the inlet, and it was a very significant moment for me. And I've never been the same.
Now, I know for a time you would go back each year, right, and throw a rock into the ocean. One, do you still do that? And how important do you think it is for all of us, really, to sort of take a step back and reset our lives in Christ? Because we can so often get caught up in the day-to-day busyness of our lives.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you said reset, because that's kind of what I feel like when I go back to Malibu. You know, I don't still throw a rock, although you reminded me that I should. I go back there. I try to get back there every year. We weren't able to go this summer, but that is where I kind of hit my reset button. And, you know, it's deep in the forest. There's no roads, so you have to take a float plane or a boat to get there. That's the only way. It's very remote.
Oh, wow.
So you kind of feel like you're flying to Neverland when you get there, because it's so out of the way. But there's this, I guess it's kind of a poem or maybe a short story that somebody wrote about a boy who likes to go to the woods. And his grandfather says to the boy, he says, why do you always go to the woods? And the boy said, well, Granddad, when I go to the woods, I find God there. And he said, well, you know, you can find God anywhere. He's the same everywhere. And he says, well, I know that the boy says, I know he's the same everywhere, but I am different in the woods. And so for me, that's how it feels to go to Malibu. Wow. I just feel like my heart's a little more open. Mm-hmm. My cell phone's out of range, you know.
That's a good thing.
I feel like I'm different when I go there. And so, yeah, I think it's important to have a place like that.
Now, you grew up in Nashville, which is Music City capital, really. But when did you realize you had this special gift, and how did you evolve into a Christian music artist?
Yeah, you know, growing up in Nashville, my mom was a hairdresser, my dad was a police officer, so, I mean, I knew that it was called Music City, but I wasn't steeped in the music scene. It was just another town in the U.S., you know? Mm-hmm. But when I got into high school, I had some friends whose parents were in the music business, and they played instruments, and so I learned how to play the guitar. We kind of had somewhat of a garage band going, although I was really trying to impress a girl. it worked, and we dated for if you can date in the eighth grade.
Right.
We dated for
that's awesome
for 2 months, which is pretty good for the eighth grade.
Yeah.
I have no idea where she is these days, but I'm still playing the guitar.
Did you get to go to a dance with her at all? I mean, in that 2 month span, there's got to be like some kind of school dance.
You know, later, we did go to prom together.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, like, 3 years later, I guess, we went to my junior prom together. So, I kid. I know what she's up to. She's doing great. for me, it was good to just see that music was something that you could actually do for a living. And, my parents weren't necessarily, like, discouraging. But they were a little leery, you know, because there's so many people that moved to Nashville to become musicians. But I started writing almost immediately. And I think it was my songwriting. It wasn't necessarily my musicianship, but it was my songwriting and my singing that, you know, my mom in particular thought was really good. And so I had friends that their parents were in the business, and, I ended up winning this talent contest when I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm good at this. Maybe it's just not something that I do. I mean, maybe it's something I'm good at. So I went to college and kept writing. And right out of college, I signed a publishing deal, and I was off to the races.
Wow. That's incredible. Your music, Brandon, your songs, as you said, songwriting, you know, they're written with deep personal experience, and that transparency really resonates with the audience and people who are listening. Which songs over the years have meant the most to you because of those experiences that may have moved you and inspired you to write them?
Yeah, there's a couple. One that was my first number one, it's called I'm Not Who I Was. And it's my favorite song I've ever written.
Yeah.
We were just listening to it.
I have a funny story about that one and another one, but go ahead.
I need to hear the story. I want to hear your story, then I'll tell you my story.
Oh, okay. So I was talking to my husband about this because 10 years ago, I started listening to K-Love, and they had this challenge where they said, listen to K-Love for 1 month straight and see what happens afterwards. Like, they were kind of challenging listeners to listen to K-Love exclusively and nothing else. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take the challenge. And I decided to just listen to K-Love for 1 month straight. That was like 10 years ago. And one of your songs was the Give Me Your Eyes one. And I was telling my husband that as soon as I hear that song, I just remember 10 years ago, I was in my car listening to that song and going, wow, that's a strong song. I love it so much. And I also love the I'm Not Who I Was. Like, that was such a good song, too. I'm like, this is awesome. It just takes me back to when I started listening to Christian music, just Christian music alone. And that was one of the reasons why, because your songs were actually very powerful. I love them so much. Yeah. Really good stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I put a lot into my my lyrics, and I'm Not Who I Was is a song that I wrote myself about my. I actually wrote about my stepmom, and I needed to forgive her just for, you know, some past mistakes, and she's no longer my stepmom, but I was able to find her on Facebook after that song got popular, and it's just a gesture of forgiveness, and you know, forgiveness is pretty powerful thing, and often hard to do when somebody's hurt you deeply, but for me it just felt good to let go of that, and so that's why I love that song. It's my favorite. And then Give Me Your Eyes, that one you were talking about, the other one you're talking about, I wrote that with a guy named Jason Ingram. And Jason has written, I mean, every hit you can think of in the last 10 years he's written. But that was his first number one. And we kind of cut our teeth together as songwriters. And we're really proud of that one. I mean, some songs you write just kind of transcend, like, anything about me. It's just God just does something crazy with it, and that's Give Me Your Eyes for me.
You know, it's so true, because some words, when you sing them, I'm assuming you guys, it's a personal thing for you, but what you don't realize is the listeners are also, they're getting so attached to the songs as well, because they speak deeply to their souls. And that's exactly, that the words of your songs really hit me in that moment 10 years ago. And it made me want to continue to listen to Christian music. And let me tell you, the challenge worked. I've been listening to Christian music ever since. And part of it is because of your songs and the songs of other people that sang these words that God spoke to them. So it's a beautiful thing. I commend you for that. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. You know what? If it's been 10 years, you should call Caleb and, like, you should call them and leave that message on your machine. They would be really encouraged by that.
That's so true.
I have a couple connections there. We could do that.
That's so
That'd
true.
Be great.
I definitely will.
You mentioned Brad.
They'd probably put you on, honestly. Probably.
You mentioned forgiveness in I'm Not Who I Was. It's pretty ironic. We just featured last week's episode, maybe, or the week before that. It was about forgiveness, and you mentioned being friends with David Akers. Well, the long snapper for the Eagles at that time, someone who David knows very well, his name's John Dorenbos, and he just told us a powerful story of forgiving his dad, who murdered his mom when he was 12 years old, and how it just happened 5.5 months ago, and that was like 25, 26 years ago. So it's incredible what forgiveness can do for us, and how it releases everything that we've been holding back. So you put it into words, you put it into songs, and that's incredible. Now, your latest album is Faith, Hope, Love, Repeat. Those tenets really, like, of our Christian faith. And what inspired you to write that album, the songs, the music in there?
So Faith, Hope, Love, Repeat is actually a song that I wrote with my friend David Leonard, who also has two daughters. I got one of David's buddies with me right now. So I have two daughters, he has two daughters, and I wrote it before I even knew what I was having, but you know, you bring a kid into the world, especially a little girl, and you want to protect them. And you want to just kind of pave the way for them and set them up well. But the reality is, at some point, they're going to make a decision on whether or not they want to know Jesus or not. And so for me, that's going to be her decision to make one day. And the world that I'm bringing her into is a really broken world. And in so many ways, it points the other direction. It's, you know, it doesn't really point to faith. It kind of points to self-reliance and survival. And, you know, we go looking desperately for it, you know, for acceptance everywhere. And so it's going to be her own journey, but I've got her for a little while. And the best things that I can teach her are those tenets you're talking about, faith, hope, and love. And just keep talking about it and practicing it in my own life, and maybe she'll be equipped with that, you know? So that's what that song is about anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about being a father to daughters, and mm-hmm. you know, I know exactly, you know, our lives changed for the better, but it's a challenge to have young girls in this world. I feel, you know, it's a challenge to be a dad regardless, whether you have daughters or sons. But and our twins are 6 years old. Yours are how old?
So our oldest is 22 months. Our youngest is 7 months.
Oh, wow.
God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Oh, yeah.
You're still in a diaper changing mode. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm learning all different angles. Do you know how they roll? Like, they will not let you change your diaper. Like, they do the alligator roll.
Yes.
I'll try that with two.
What is this all about? It's a wrestling match.
Oh, yeah, it really is. It really is. What? It's crazy.
As they get older and they start to develop their personalities, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're beautiful, I'm sure. And people will always come up to me and they'll say, oh, you have to look out for, you're going to have to look out. You're going to have to get your shotgun ready and all mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I look at it like, you know what? That to me is a worldly view, because I don't need to get my shotgun ready. I'm just raising them to know the Lord, raising them in the church, and raising them to know right from wrong, and then trusting in them to make these decisions. And my thing for them is, like, I just impress upon them, I want you, and now they're old enough to where they're six and they can understand this, like, I want you to when you grow up and you get married, I want you to find someone who loves Jesus more than he loves you. And that, like, blows their mind, like, what, really? And I'm like, yeah, I want a man who loves Jesus and then loves your mom the way I do. And I think when we say that and we do that, we don't need no shotgun, or we don't need any of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The shotgun joke is the easy joke.
Yeah.
Having daughters. but I think you're right. I think it's about equipping them and just doing it ourselves. And listen, I'm only 5 years into marriage. I'm still learning a lot, you know, and she's watching. They're both watching.
Yes.
And, you know, there's memories that I have of when I was like 3 years old. They're going to remember some of the things that they see us doing now, you know? My wife and I really have to work on our relationship, and, you know, it gets a little stressful sometimes when you get into the early stages of parenting,
mm-hmm.
because you're learning as you go
mm-hmm.
about being a parent, and you can learn, you can read all the books you want, but at the end of the day, you've got to really kind of align yourselves on, you know, what you believe about discipline, what you believe about, you know, grace.
It's so true what you're saying.
So we draw all that from Jesus.
Yeah.
And figure you can't go wrong that way.
And you're right. You know what? Your marriage is, it has to be your number one, because kids watch everything you say and they model everything you do. So you have to work on your marriage first before you work on being a parent, because that actually results into great parenting when you have a great marriage. So I totally agree with you. And
I think what Remy's getting at right now is she wants like a date or something. We're going to have to go out for a date night tonight, huh? Is that what you...
We always do. Yeah, she would do a good job at that. Yeah.
There's some good date spots over in Philly. I took my wife out one time. We were over... Oh, man, I don't know the area. It's mm-hmm. like this old warehousey area that they've kind of converted in the last 5 years.
Well, there's a lot. That's a Fishtown area that's been.
I think that's it. Fishtown.
There's a lot of nice little restaurants there.
I've never been there.
I haven't taken her there. Now,
what's up with that?
Yeah, I'll get you. Yeah. I'll get you. It's like, hey, we went downtown and I took her to. Yeah, there was downtown.
Yes.
So it's like, so you're gonna be here, Brandon, in a couple. Weeks. You're going to be here December 7th, Fellowship Bible Church, which is right around the corner from us.
Church.
So we're looking forward to that, stopping by to see you. You have a little bit of something in common with Remy, in that both of you aren't necessarily the biggest sports fans in the world. What do you like watching?
You know, it is true. I'm not a huge sports fan, but thanks to fantasy football,
You do that?
I got into watching the NFL like 5 or 6 years ago because of my bandmates were all into fantasy, and so it's funny because you were talking about Akers earlier. Akers was my fantasy kicker, and I could call him before the game and say, "Okay, man, I really need you to come in strong for me this week."
That's awesome. He used to boom some 50-yarders. Those are extra points too.
Yeah, he did.
No.
I think he got didn't he get like a 60?
63.
When he was
San Fran, yeah, 63.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. I tell him all the time. He's one of the greatest ever, and there should be a conversation about Hall of Fame and David Akers and some of those. They don't really give kickers that respect like they should, but he's one of the definitely the greatest in the city of Philadelphia who played for the Eagles. So that's pretty cool. Well, man, we're looking forward to seeing you here in our area. Is there anything you want to share with the fans, with the listeners that we didn't get to?
Just give me some snow for Christmas, all right? Give me some snow.
I hear you.
Man.
All right, Brandon, we appreciate it, man.
All right, I'll see you guys soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. God bless.
God bless.
That was Christian music artist Brandon Heath. We're back after this on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past show and listen at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're involved in. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. We have a great time. There's awesome food there, great people. Come on out. Sports talk, giveaways, prizes, special guests. Really enjoy our time there. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. Thank you to Brandon Heath for being our guest this week. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton, for a great job that he does. Huge thank you also to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work that he does on our website, podcast, blog, and all the stuff that we do. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Brett Ryan, thanks for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.